Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
The beach at Walden Pond in Concord is gone. Heavy spring rains pushed the water level at the historic site several feet above normal, which swamped the beach and sections of trails that ring the pond. And in an attempt to limit visitors this spring, this week, the Department of Conservation and Recreation has cut the number of parking spaces at the pond almost in half. So Mother Nature has had her way with Walden this year, as she always has, ever since the woods and the pond first bloomed into our imaginations when Henry David Thoreau published Walden, or Life in the Woods, in 1854. And I'd say this, these sounds, this is why you go to Walden, to experience the birds and the trees and the wind and the water the way Thoreau did. Problem is, Walden now isn't like it was then. It's changed significantly, and not just because of encroaching urbanization. Global warming has come to Walden. And now, a century and a half after he first lived there, a new group of scientists is using Henry David Thoreau's meticulous original notes as baseline data for modern-day climate studies. I recently took a ramble around Walden Woods with one of those scientists, Harvard biology professor Charles Davis.
Check this one out, you guys. This is a yellow birch. It likes its feet wet, but if you scratch the bark and sniff, it's got a really wonderful fragrance.
Oh, wow.
Like a,
it's almost
a
minty.
Wintergreen,
yeah.
Or spearmint. Yeah, it's one of the diagnostic features
spearmint.
For identifying this plant. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So let's cruise up here for just a little bit.
You've actually read Thoreau's journals that he was keeping of his observations of Walden. So what is it that he was writing about? What was he seeing here at the pond at that time?
In essence, he was a remarkable inventory taker. So he was taking long treks and long walks through the forest in the greater Concord area and taking really meticulous notes on the plant and especially bird species that he saw during his time. But more than that, he was also taking, you know, kind of ecological observations. So he was recording when are species flowering, for example, when are birds arriving into the area. And that's great, but what's even better is that over the course of the last 150 years, there have been several botanists especially, but more generally biologists, that have followed in Thoreau's footsteps, collecting similar kinds of data. So what we have is this remarkable series of snapshots which documents the way in which the flora and the fauna has changed. Then a lot of these records and archives you can get the Concord Free Public Library right here in town.
So in Thoreau's time in the 19th century, what are the predominant plants and animals that he would have been observing here at Walden?
Groups like orchids and lilies and irises and dogwoods. There's a really beautiful stemless lady slipper orchid right there with a pink flower. And I point this out only because, well, it's gorgeous, but it's one of the groups that has been really hit hard by climate change. Now, what I should add is that of the species that Thoreau observed, 30% of those you can no longer see in the Concord area, which is really pretty striking. And we know that an additional 30% of those species that he observed are in such low abundance that their extirpation from the local Concord area is likely imminent in the near future.
When Thoreau was here in the month of May, in his time, would he have seen irises and dogwoods in full flower around the pond?
What we found is that no, the species that you mentioned, those are groups of species, they haven't appropriately adjusted their flowering time response to increasing mean annual temperatures. And in effect, those are the species that have been the losers in this whole climate change game. And the winners, by and large, seem to be the non-native species. These are generally species that come in through the horticultural trait and through various ways they escape.
But in that case, how does flowering earlier give the non-native species an advantage?
We don't know for sure, but one likely explanation is that by flowering earlier, species are also shifting their life cycle to be more compatible with, for example, pollinators that visit them. The other thing, though, is that there may be other effects. So, for example, it may be that it's not directly related to flowering time, but it's more related to earlier leaf out. And we know that many species are actually flushing their leaves earlier in the spring than they did in the past. And that may give them a competitive advantage if they're able to get a jump start on spring.
In the course of comparing what Thoreau recorded in his journals and your surveys out here at Walden now, were you surprised by how dramatic the change has been?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were surprised that the flora at large, when you look at it broadly, has shifted their flowering times by over a week. So the community, on average, is now flowering over a week earlier today than it did during the time of Thoreau. This is a little star flower there. It's a very early spring ephemeral. It only comes out for about a week or so. We could just head down this way a little bit.
So from your research, it seems like one of the biggest reasons why there has been sort of slow but continuous ecologic change around Walden, you say it's partially because of climate change and the warming of seasonal temperatures here. So how much warmer is it here now in the spring, say, than it was 150 years ago?
So it's about 2.5 degrees warmer today than it was during the time of Thoreau. And that's really a dramatic shift in terms of, you know, species' abilities to adjust their metabolic activities and things like that.
In hearing you talk about how climate change and warming has shifted the ecology here, I'm still struck by how beautiful it is, obviously, as we've been walking. I mean, it's still a very beautiful natural area. So wouldn't it be fair for someone to walk around here and say, extra 2 degrees of warming every year, big deal?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the way I would respond is that, yes, of course, it's a beautiful and it's a wonderful place. It turns out that 2.5 degrees is actually really dramatic. And for many species, this won't matter much because they have the ability to adjust that they're not going to even notice these differences. But for many other species, you know, what we're seeing is that these kinds of temperature increases are well outside of their thermal tolerance ranges. You know, it's just too hot for them. You know, the sad story of all that is that among many of the groups that have been hit hardest, they include a lot of these very charismatic species. And it's a bummer. This is the last year's fruits of the Indian pipe, which is a ghost-like plant. It looks, it's really a fun little plant on the forest floor.
Most of us think of Thoreau as, of course, this great literary figure. But it seems like he's also Thoreau the scientist, based on how important those original journals that he kept were for your research.
Absolutely. And in effect, you know, Thoreau has been resurrected as a climatologist. And, you know, it's just really amazing that 150 years later, we're still citing his work, but not in the context of the humanities side of things, but maybe more in the context of really hardcore, cutting-edge science. And that's pretty cool. And this is a little Mayflower. It's a lily relative. And this is part of this broader group of plants that has not shifted its flowering time response to temperature. So this is a group of plants that, you know, we're observing now in early May, the same time that Thoreau would have observed it 150 years ago.
I suppose one of the things that really strikes me as I walk here around Walden with you is that now I don't even think I'm going to be able to look at my own street or my own backyard without thinking there is climate change happening to the trees and plants and animals that I see every day.
These are the kind of results that emerge, and you start to think, you know, what am I missing? What was here and beautiful that I can no longer see? And what am I likely to lose in the near future?
The flip side to all of this is that it is global climate change, and the sources of the problem are just about everywhere.
Absolutely.
Whereas we're talking about a local impact, so it feels like you're almost powerless to stop these changes from happening here at Walden.
Right, so this is always a difficult question for me. What can I do? And I think one of the suggestions I have is to sort of circle back and think about what would Thoreau say. And, you know, Thoreau would obviously advocate living a very simple and modest life. And I think that's good advice for us all.
My guide in the woods was Charles Davis, assistant professor of evolutionary biology at Harvard. Up next, while Walden may be a great place for a romantic getaway, how about your cubicle? Not so great. We're looking for your advice on workplace affairs. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.